After For Every Man, which again had included some songs written during the 60s, Late for the Sky contained nothing previously familiar.
Is it the point where you decided that you didn't want to do any of your older songs anymore? Or had you basically exhausted all...
Yeah, I'd run out of songs that I'd written, you know, that I wanted to do. But it's not really true, because they're all a lot of the songs on The Pretender are from pieces that were laying around before my first album, some, you know, so... But yeah, I finished songs that I'd written before, yeah. I only stuck a couple of those on the For Every Man record, you know. And that was it. Then when I was out, you know. So there weren't any more to be drawn upon.
Was it better to make an album with a kind of fixed group than with a floating body of sessionaires?
It was interesting. Perhaps premature, but I enjoyed doing it that way, and I intend to do it that way again.
I'm a narrator, you know. It's a search for a way of describing what you're going through, and very oftentimes a way of accessing issues that you have that you don't even know you have. Because you feel your way through music, and especially writing a song, you're reaching around, and sometimes you find something that you like, a phrase that you like, that you don't even know why you like it, or why does that mean something to me. And by the time you've written the song, hopefully that phrase will mean to a listener what it means to you. Late for the Sky would be a song like that, where when I was writing that song, my wife said, "What's this called?" I said, "Late for the Sky." She said, "Where do you get that?" I said, "Well, it's not finished yet." She was like, "Okay, I'll wait, and we'll see how you're going to get to that. This better be good." Personal thoughts of one are more universal even than the plight of many, because everybody disagrees about what the plight is of many. But the personal, a love song is just a momentary thing. It's a thing about, I mean, everybody regularly experiences sorrow and elation and, you know, despair and anxiety, or you know, or you know, happiness and energy, all these things, you know, as a love song, the way we relate to one other individual and the expectations we have and the way we, you know, how we see ourselves through another's eyes, you know, and all that is really so fundamental that it just works all the time, and there's nothing implied that you have to do for anybody else but yourself, or maybe, you know, the person that you love.
Could be I lost my way.
Later, I saw her with friends, and she was incredible. She was so amazing, such an amazing person. And I wrote her the song. Then I saw her a few other times over the years, you know. Truth is, this is a lot better song than she deserves.
Just a trace of sorrow in your eyes.
Like many of the songs that I do a slower keys now because I can't sing as high as I once did. But I can't change the key of this song because when I wrote this song because of this, I wrote the whole song towards a moment at the end when I would get to make this sound, and because it occurred to me to sound a lot like a car horn. So I, and it does. This is a guitar pitch pipe. It's got, you know, it's got the E and the A and the D and the D. And when you blow on the G and the B, yeah. So that was the inspiration for this song. I just want you to know. And it didn't even make it the record because at the end of the song on the record, when I got ready to, you know, I read this whole scene set. I'd said what I wanted to say, you know, and I go to the whole car horn. It just sounded like a pitch pipe, you know? I mean, with all that sound around it, somehow it just sounded like a pitch pipe. We did other things, you know, to make it, make you know that, you know, you're sitting in a car.
Everyone I've ever known has wished me well. Anyway, that's how it seems, it's hard to tell. Maybe people only ask you how you're doing, 'cause that's easier than letting on how little they could care. But when you know that you've got a real friend somewhere, suddenly all the others are so much easier to bear. Now to see things clear, it's hard. While you're waiting for reality to show, without dreaming of the perfect love and holding it so far above, if you stumble onto someone real, you'd never know.
You'd never know.
You might be with somebody who is lonely too.
Sometimes it doesn't show.
He might be trying across to you,
words can be so.
Well, your own emptiness is all that's getting through. There comes a point when you're not sure why you're still talking. I passed that point long ago, long ago. Now I'm so tired. Till you found some kind of friend. Well, I saw you through the laughter and the noise. You were talking with the soldiers and the boys. While they scuffled for your weary smiles, I thought of all the empty miles.
them in dreams and laughter. I guess it's just too mental otherwise. Like you're standing in the window of a house nobody lives in, and I'm sitting in a car across the way. Let's just say it's a early model Chevrolet.
I'll almost write in full sentences, you know. I mean, it's just one. I think I probably have always tried to make it a point, because I cared about the words so much, to make them real audible. So you'll pick a melody that makes it possible to hear what the words are, and I think that a lot of times it would be more musical to not care, you know, to just know what the words are. Me know what the words are, and not care if anybody can actually hear what they are, because either way, you know, the thing will get across. At some point, you have to forget everything and feel a song and but it's hard, because I mean the way they've been written is really with that, with clarity in mind, you know, with the idea that the words are. You want a song to be audible, especially. There didn't used to be these great sound systems. Matter of fact, I can remember on about my third album, knowing that I hadn't, before I cut the third album, knowing that I hadn't finished half this song and I wanted to do it. I needed this song for the show, but it wasn't finished, and I thought, I'm just going to sing it anyway, and I'm just going to gobbledygook right through the last verse. No one will know, because I knew that the sound systems in those days were so bad that by that time in the set, no one was going to be hearing anything anyway. And I was right. I mean, I just wound up. It was The Road in the Sky, and the last verse was like, you know, just look convinced, you know, and people would figure, you know, they just shake their head and, you know, strain a little harder to hear it, but now you can't get away with it.
Yeah.
I think I may be more known, you know, for songs, you know, serious songs. I think more than that, I think that the performance of these songs is not always been very buoyant or very up, you know. I mean, as far as Pigeonhole goes, I mean, I've written some funny songs, and I'm probably not really known for them. But I mean, actually, I think the most deciding factor in all of that is drugs. I think there was a period of time of about 6 or 7 years where I was extremely fatigued and probably thought I was having a pretty wild time, but in fact was probably exhausted. So if I listen to For a Dancer, it's like being underwater. Like, why is this thing so slow? Especially when I'm talking about what I'm talking about. If I sing you the song now, I don't think it's depressing at all.
This is a song I wrote for a friend of mine who died in a fire. And he was a really, really talented guy. He was, championship ice skater. He had been in the ice capades, which I always thought that was a little odd, you know. You know, because there was nothing probably less hip than the ice capades in the 60s. But he was a really fine skater, and he was also a great dancer. And during the riots on Sunset Strip, you know, they shut down all these clubs. You know that song that Stephen Stills wrote, For What It's Worth, you know? Something happened in you, you know, so that was about these riots and all these demonstrations where the police made it illegal to dance in these clubs. The only way they get around it so there'd be people dancing for the bands is if they'd hire people to dance and give them, you know, technically they'd employ them so that, you know, the police couldn't stop it. He was such an amazing dancer. He was one of those people that danced then. And he was, I don't know why I feel like telling you about him tonight, because this is a song I've sung for many people on many different occasions. But no matter how close to your
along with whatever meaning you might have found. Don't let the uncertainty turn you around. Go on and make a joyful sound.
At one point, somebody once in a review said, has there ever been a Jackson Brown record where somebody doesn't die? There's this great story about Warren Zevon that he had to go to the airport and fly to do a gig on the East Coast, and he was terribly sick. He was really had like some kind of ghastly flu that made it almost impossible for him to even be up and walking around. But he went to an acupuncturist who made him a very powerful herbal tea, and he must drink it in 12 separate installments, once every, you know, 5 or 6 hours or something. And so Warren, of course, drank the whole thing and went to the airport. And he had a seizure waiting to get on the plane. And he told me that as I lost my footing and as the room began to swirl and my head fell backwards and as it hit the tile of the departure lounge, I heard myself thinking, oh God, don't let me die and have Jackson write a song about it.
Jackson Brown is our guest today, live from the Museum of Television and Radio in New York City. This is going to sound like a total name drop, but I don't mean it that way. Earlier this week, I had a chance to talk to Peter Gabriel, and one of the things he talked about is how he'd been talking to fans about how certain ones of his songs had gotten them through emotional times of various sorts. And he called about writing songs to put in the emotional toolbox. And I was thinking about your songs, and many of them, For a Dancer, a beautiful grieving song. The album for me was Late for the Sky, in that, and that was a particularly tumultuous time in your life. Is it cathartic for you to write these things as it is for us to hear them?
It's healing to write them.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand it. I mean, cathartic sometimes, it's a way of focusing your response. You know, it's very much like the blues. It's very much like, you know, someone saying, you know, I don't feel good and this is why, or this is, you know, I mean, it's coming to terms with what is bothering you. And, you know, I may be in this kind of shape now, but tomorrow I'm going to feel better and this is how I'm going to get there. You know, if it were just wallowing in, you know, in despair, it wouldn't work. But if during the course of the song it pulls you together and you somehow by the end of that song are focusing on, you know, how you're gonna get where you want to go, then it really serves that kind of function. And I always just tell people I'm glad it worked for them the way it, you know, worked for me. It's not an evangelical thing. It's not like, you know, I'm not holding it out for those uses necessarily. It's just what we really use music for. I mean, in so many cases, and then it's hardest to write a really happy song because that mm-hmm. has to sort of stand for, that has to sort of sum up and depict, you know, a thing that is so important to us that, you know, it's hard to kind of nail it down.
Well, I was just thinking about, like, Walking Slows on that album,
right?
Also, which is the Happening.
Right.
So you got some in there. Would you be able to do one from that area?
Yeah. Let's see. Which one? I mean, I could do Walking Slow. I haven't been singing that song for really many years, and I'm just so...
You don't travel with a jug player. That must be it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is on that. By the way, it's a jug. People are, what is that? A whoopee cushion? Okay. That That was, we talked about jug bands earlier. The guy playing the jug on that record is Fritz Richmond, who was the jug player and washtub bass player for the Queskin Jug Band, whom I used to go see. I used to go see them play at the Ash Grove. And he was the engineer of that record. He was the one who assisted Al Schmidt, the great engineer producer.
Well, try it.
I can flow down the avenue through my own neighborhood. I don't know why I'm happy. I got no reason to feel this good. Maybe it's because I'm all alone and I got no place to go. Everywhere I look, I see another person I'll never know. Carry on. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
The final hour.
to do. Let the music keep our spirits high. Let the buildings keep our children high. Let creation be in its secrets by and by.
Cover of Late for the Sky has a copy of a Magritte. It's the René Magritte painting, Empire of Light. It's actually a series of paintings, in that it's got a house at dusk. There are lights on upstairs, and there's a street light outside. There's a car parked. The street light casts a shadow. But above the house is a brilliant daytime sky. To me, the Empire of Light painting is kind of a metaphor for human existence. Because even though it may be night here, it's daytime a few miles up above us, you know, in the stratosphere. I mean, it's the duality of like being in our little bourgeois homes, closed off to the real possibilities of life. It just was a metaphor for so many conditions of our existence.
Steps from the beginning till they vanished into the air, trying to understand how our lives had led us there. Looking hard into your eyes, there was nobody I'd ever known. Such an empty surprise to feel so alone. Now for me, some words come easy, but I know that they don't mean that much compared with the things that are said when lovers touch. You never knew what I loved in you. I don't know what you loved in me. Maybe the picture of somebody you were hoping I might be.
again. I can't pretend, and I know I'm alone and close to the end of the feeling we've known. How long have I been sleeping? How long have I been drifting along through the night? How long have I been dreaming I could make it right? If I closed my eyes and tried with all my might to be the one you need.
I saw you. scuffles for your weary smiles. I fathom all the empty miles and the years that I've spent looking for your eyes, looking for your body. Now I'm wondering what to say that you might recognize. Afraid that all these words might scare you away, break through the disguise. No one ever talks about their feelings anyway, but that dressing them in dreams and laughter, I guess it's just too painful otherwise. Look, it's like you're standing at the window of a house nobody lives in, and I'm sending a call across the bay. Let's just say it's an early model Chevrolet. Let's just say it's a warm and windy day. You go and pack your sorrow, the trash man comes tomorrow. Leave it at the curb and we'll just pull away.
Steps have grown. In the end, there is. Keep a fire for the human race. Let your prayers go drifting into space. You never know what will be coming down. Perhaps a better world is drawing near. And just to leave it could all disappear. Along with whatever meaning you might have found. Don't let the uncertainty turn you around. Go on and make a joyful sound. I seen somebody else has stolen. Go on ahead and throw some seeds of your own. And somewhere between the time you were born and the time you go, they'll have a reason you were alive, but you're.